BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening! Hello and welcome everyone to another BDNG Meets podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the Lead Education and Development Nurse for the BDNG. Today I have great pleasure in introducing Roger Bloxham, who is the Medical Director of Ferndale, which is a specialty UK health and wellbeing company founded in 2003. So welcome today, Roger. Could you briefly again just explain who you are?
Yeah, of course. And hi, Tina. Thanks for asking me on and having Ferndale Pharma on. So it's a great pleasure to be here. So yeah, my name's Roger, as you just described, and Bloxham, as we were just talking about, it's a village in Oxfordshire. So there's not many Bloxhams around, but that's where that comes from. So yeah, I'm the managing director. So I'm not the medical director, I'm the managing director, but I've got a degree in biology from many years ago, applied biology. So and I'm a fellow of the Royal Society of Biology as well. So, but Ferndale Pharma, as you said, we started in 2003. So, and I've been involved in pharmaceutical and medical device activity ever since leaving uni. And we started the business by taking a group of dermatology products out of a business that I've been involved with before, and we partnered with an American company called Ferndale Pharma Group. So that's where the whole Ferndale thing comes from. And that's they're based in the city of Ferndale in Michigan. So there's and as it turned out, and I went to my junior primary school was called Ferndale as well. So back in West Bromwich. So there's a whole kind of tenuous link going on here that meant it was supposed to happen, I think. And we have a focus on dermatology and skin. That's always been our kind of mission. We started off in the medicinal area, and we had a couple of products that some of your members might know from that time. One was Hydromol, which was in the topical eczema market and medical moisturizers, and we had a product called Quinoderm as well, which unfortunately is no longer around, but was for acne. So one of the early benzoyl peroxide products. And we developed those, but we actually divested and sold those off in 2006 through to 2010 period. An Alliance Pharmaceuticals took those brands over. And we moved into this known as the dermatological cosmetic skincare or dermocosmetics area at that point. And also we kept our medical focus as well, that we were registering and developing and then registering a product of there's a Ferndale product, which is a topical anesthetic called LMX4, which is a lidocaine 4% in a liposomal delivery mechanism. So that's still going. That's our hero product on the medical side, and that's still going strong, in used in pediatrics before venipuncture and cannulation, and also used before dermatological procedures in the aesthetic side, uses, you know, before aesthetic surface skin procedures. So that's that side. But the dermocosmetic side really kind of got to, so many skin conditions benefit from the use of cosmetic products that have ingredients that have an evidence base and a clinical base they use. And there's been a tremendous development of technologies that enhance those evidence-based ingredients, or even come up with novel ingredients on the cosmetic side that can sort of target pathologies, but do it in a way that complements medical treatments and also prescription and medicinal products. And that was That's really fantastic. Interesting. That was really interesting for us. That's where we kind of then progressed to, and that we've been focusing on ever since. And a big part of that came through a partnership with a Spanish company called Cantabria Labs, where we became their UK exclusive partner. And that was in 2008. And we're still working with them now. So the partnership's, touch wood, is going strong still. So, and they've got a fantastic development program. And that's really the focus we're going to be looking at today in terms of photoprotection and their technologies around that and the brand around that called Helicare.
That's great, Roger, and thanks for explaining all that. It's really interesting and really, really quite impressive that all the names sort of link in with Ferndale and your surname as well.
Yeah,
so really interesting.
Somehow it all came together,
Yeah, there's always a meaning behind it, definitely. And I know Fernblock is backed by over 80 sort of scientific publications, which, you know, as you've said, really demonstrate its ability to help prevent and repair skin damage, which is caused by daylight, which includes UVB and UVA, visible light and infrared. So today we're going to really delve into the role of antioxidants in sun protection, because obviously I have been very fortunate enough to try some of the products produced from Ferndale Pharma, and I know some of my patients as well, really, you know, really, really impressed with the fact, you know, the sun protection that is provided by Ferndale Pharma as well. So what we want to delve in today for our listeners is, you know, the science behind these products and the role of these antioxidants in sun protection.
Great, I think. Thanks for that, because it's a topic close to my heart. So yeah, so the if we just sort of break that down, then the antioxidant that we kind of talk about most in our business and our company and to our customers and healthcare professionals is the antioxidant known as Fernblock. Now that technology is through our partnership with Cantabria Labs. So Cantabria Labs basically worked in the 1990s and earlier on the development and the clinical research of this antioxidant. And it actually took place, a lot of the work, at Harvard, and with Dr. Fitzpatrick, who was one of the lead investigators of this, and who was the developer of the Fitzpatrick phototype, skin type charts, and the nomenclature that we all refer to still today. And the real basis for the need of antioxidants has sort of come about the evolution as we've learned more over the years from sun protection. So, you know, it started off probably back in the 60s, so the decade of my birth. So if we look about it then, and as I evolved through thinking in my childhood, sun protection was never really a big thing, you know. I'm sort of living through some of those issues from now, and fortunately, my dad's still going, and he's got much more of that on his bald head, which I've inherited from him. So we weren't really aware of the damage that it was causing, you know, that sunlight and daylight was causing. And our first focus was all around UVB, and that was kind of burnings, and if we could stop the burning, and we knew that could have an impact. And a lot of that was about visible damage that we could see, you know, so in terms of erythema, burning, and then we found out, the research showed us that UVB was getting absorbed by DNA as a chromophore, and then you were getting alterations to the UVB, and then to the DNA, and then that linked to skin cancer issues started to come out as we sort of moved into the 70s. So that was that sort of evolution, and that's when SPF became a thing about how do you measure the protection against UVB. So SPF just tells us about its UVB protection. And then the role of UVA became, and this is really where antioxidants and the role of reactive oxygen species or free radicals, as they're sometimes called, became to the fore, because UVA was having a different role. It was penetrating deeper into the skin, and then that was starting to be absorbed by, it was being absorbed as by other mainly cellular proteins. And then that was releasing these reactive oxygen species like the superoxide anion or hydrogen peroxide or the hydroxyl group. And that was then going and damaging lipid structures, protein structures in the cells. And that started to be linked to other areas of damage. So there was still some links to DNA damage, but it was to links about how that was affecting other issues such as cell apoptosis, so causing cell death and its effect on extracellular matrix. So basically we were getting significant collagen loss and breakdown in structures in the skin. And there was a, I think it was back in 2003, there was a study that showed, and that was done in the UK, that showed SPF, which at the time is thought to be sort of high protection, so it's 20 plus, but with UVA protection, was only reducing free radicals by about 55%. So that kind of said, what else do we do? So there is a drive in that sort of whole development stage at that to get better filters and better sort of screens, as it were. But then it came into, well, free radicals are the cause of this, so we need to think about antioxidants. And that's really where the role of antioxidants came to the fore. And the research into needing antioxidants, both in topical, your topical formulations, but also there is the role of, can it affect or have a beneficial effect when in the supplement format? And that's kind of where Fernblock all developed from. And the name Fernblock came from the fact that, like so many antioxidants, they derive by plant derived, because plants derive their own protection mechanisms over the years, and they developed these sort of antioxidant properties. So the Fernblock ingredient is the scientific name is Polypodium leucotomus, and that's derived from a tropical fern that basically developed its own photoprotective benefits and ingredients. And it's really a concentration of polyphenols that we can use topically in the sunscreens, or can be used as an oral supplement. And that's to enhance the efficacy of the sunscreen, or to have a systemic sort of beneficial effect. And then it's really, I suppose, on the cosmetic side and the supplement side, we're talking about cosmetics and supplements, so they're not medicine. So, but it's what level of evidence can we provide to give that supportive evidence to show that they can actually have a role to play in the provision of treatments, or particularly from a dermatology point of view, and when you're also prescribing and doing other sort of medication approaches to issues. And that's what Cantabria Labs try to do, and that's the sort of mission of Ferndale Pharma as well in the UK, and as we represent them, but in all the other things we do, is trying to sort of provide that clinical evidence and the support to say that these could have a supportive role.
That's great. And the evidence is growing. I mean, it's really interesting listening to, you know, you're going back into the 60s, and I know myself, you know, we thought we were, you know, really good putting on like UVB protection of factor two, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we've developed over the years. And I know myself now when I'm working clinically in consultations, you know, we're used to doing full skin assessments. But I think now part of my role, and which has only just developed, I would say, is to include sun awareness and talk about sun protection. And people don't realise that they have to use sun protection. And, you know, the differences between UVB and UVA. And I mean, do you feel as what, I mean, you've obviously got lots of science behind this, but do you feel as a company, this is a really important message to portray, to get across to healthcare professionals about the backing of the products and, you know, how they work and, you know, the important message we need to give to our patients that it is backed by science?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's, as we know, it's all about education really. And how do we translate that message across to the patient and the wider community, you know, and the consumers out there that, but it's important to try and do it in a balanced and way that sort of is based on learning and sort of information that's credible, rather than trying to go down a scare route approach. And it's like everything, I think there's no one fix, is there? There's no silver bullet in this. So, but the role of sun protection, I think, as you say, has become much, much more prevalent now. And that's from a healthcare professional point of view. And you're in a great place to kind of provide that reputable overview of what's required, but do it in a very balanced way. The role of sun protection products against other sun protection measures such as avoidance, and you know, that you don't, it's not good to go out and try and tan and those sort of things. Certainly keep away from sunbeds, you know, and that type of thing. I think that's really important. But the role of products that can be used to support the safety of the skin, really, and it, you know, it is our largest organ of the body, and it's prone to the outer limit to of all the exposure and environmental issues that we face. So I think it's important that we get the message across, but we do it in a balanced way, and we try and do it so that people can make informed choices. And I think we believe, obviously, in our products and the evidence behind it. And we try and put that across. And one of the things we wanted to try and do is spend more time providing that information to the dermatology community, to try so that there's an awareness of what information there is about there. And then you can make balanced decisions about what should be recommended and how to do it. So I think that the short answer to your question was yes, but that was the long one. So that,
No, it's really valuable, I think, and you know, obviously the thinking behind it is really valuable for, and it is balancing it, isn't it? It's totally balancing what is correct for our patients, and you know, what is too much. You know, we don't want that information overload, definitely not. And also, I think an awareness is coming across now. You know, we've probably all seen the photos of skin aging through sun damage, and I think, you know, the youngsters, the 20-year-olds, are getting, I would say, improved awareness of using SPF every day, because they want to prevent their skin from aging. You know, so it's not always 100% about the sun damage. It's about, you know, protecting the skin and actually using it 365 days a year. Do you feel that that's becoming more apparent with the younger generation?
I think it is, and that's because also the sort of the medical cosmetic area, and then the sort of professional beauty area, also over the more recent years, have become much more aware of this and the impact. And this comes back into the different forms of daylight, really, and so the role of UVA, and then the role of visible light as well, in affecting the sort of premature aging, as you were saying, of the skin, so the breakdown of skin structures in the extracellular matrix, and then the incidence of pigmentation, and I think the dermatologists have helped greatly with this in sort of getting that message into the medical aesthetic community, and also to sort of beauty journalists and well-being journalists, and so that message has been spread much more widely. And then I think also the role of social media now as an informative source. I mean, it can be a source of bad information as well, but there are credible influencers, as they sort of refer to them now, who do spread that message as well. So I think also we just see more generally there's a sort of health and well-being trend amongst younger people. And as those sort of groups are moving through into their late 20s and 30s, they're much more conscious about prevention, I think, than probably my generation was as well. So and there's more information for them to be available. But I think that's why it's important that there is that sort of credible source of information, and also where it's relevant, that healthcare professionals are also can help be part of that education. So
absolutely, yeah. And social media has, you know, we know social media has, well, both positives and negatives, but it is a big part of life now for everybody, really, isn't it? So yeah. You know, it's definitely going through the generations. We can't escape it, definitely not. I mean I've looked at your products, and you know, you have a various amount of products, which is fantastic. So I've got two questions for you. You mentioned supplements there, so how does that work along with the topicals? And you know, you have, I don't know how many different topicals you have, I know you have a variety, but how do you think about the different formulations, and how, what's the thinking behind that?
Well, there, That's a really interesting question. So the role of the supplement actually first came about when it was being researched, and this was linked to UVB treatment. So and there was two things. I mean, it was involved in different. There was treatment of vitiligo, and it was, but there was also concerns about the level of damage that could be caused as a result. But you can't use a topical because it would affect the treatment outcome. So actually, that was some of the very early research with Polypodium nicotinus and Fernblock. So that really came around of saying, could an oral supplement actually play a role in terms of protection, and not the traditional protection as in SPF factor, but can it have an effect at the cellular level? And that was shown, and that was back in sort of the initial work started 1990s, but there was work published in the early 2000s and mid 2000s that showed not only were treatments that were using UVB and the treatment of vitiligo, we were getting better repigmentation, but they then started to do skin biopsy data showing that you were getting less DNA damage, and you're actually UVB was depleting sort of Langerhans cells in the skin, which is, the immune defense sort of main active cellular activity within or organelle within the skin, and it was stopping or helping prevent the significant reduction of Langerhans cells within the skin. So I think that's really where it started to develop, and the role that it can and the role of supplements. And I think that's the important thing for supplements is that they're not a replacement for topical sun protection. They should never be seen as that, but they can have an important role. And we believe with the HeliCare brand and the HeliCare 360 brand of supplements, which has the patented Fernblock Polypodium technology in there, that the evidence base is strong, and as we were saying, there's over 80 studies. So that was really developing that. So there's a general kind of trend to supplements from a well-being and a prevention and a health factor, but increasingly over time, it's also been studied in different dermatological pathologies. So it kind of rolled out into its role, how it could support in oncodermatology, things like in terms of polymorphic light eruptions. There is where you've got skin allergy sort of in response to UV exposure. There are studies done to show that it can help reduce the impact of that, its effect on hyperpigmentation, etc., like that. So that was where that kind of worked. And there's a strong body of peer review publications around that. And then I think from the topical point of view was because we kind of came back to that even back in 2003, it's been shown that and the filter, the development and the technology of the filters has advanced dramatically, but you still don't stop everything, and particularly from the UVA perspective. And then when we start to find out about visible light and the impact that visible light can have, and mainly caused around reactive oxygen species generation, that was when the role of antioxidants, both in the topical formulations and then in its role in oral supplements, sort of starts to become really relevant. I think that the supplements are there to support, like from a potentially as a daily sort of healthcare supplement, but from a skin focus. And the underlying damage. And I think one other thing to say about that was like there's been as ever, science moves quickly and sometimes slowly and sometimes quickly, but where we saw damage to DNA and the form of dimers, there was then the discovery of the things around is now called dark CPDs, and that was where hours after sun exposure and UV and exposure, you get the formation of this DNA damage and dimers. So it's not it's there's something that's occurring at the cellular level, probably reactive oxygen species activity that's causing that damage, and that was the role of antioxidants in the fern block, Polypodium leucotomus, has been able to show that it can help the prevention of those in its oral supplement format. So I think it's about finding the right treatments that, or the right indications from a sort of more pathology point of view that it, that supplements can help support. And we have a group of studies that are available, and we have a summary document that can help demonstrate that. And then I think coming back to your question about topicals, and this is a, and what drives the formulation, and there's some interesting now sort of relatively high level groups looking at that, and this kind of concept, it's called personalized medical photoprotection, and there's publications coming out about that now, which is breaking it down into what's the skin concern, and that can be, it can be cosmetic, but it can be also a sort of medical pathology driven one. So from that perspective, it's being looked at, what's the main primary, what are the issues, that is it vitiligo, is it hyperpigmentation issues, actinic keratoses, and there are different formulations now coming out within, with respect to that, sensitive skin or more reactive skin, skin more prone to rosacea, those type of things, acneic skin or acne prone skin, and that's the earlier stage of development was to make it cosmetically acceptable, so you could use the product every day, you know, and incorporate it into sort of daily skincare routine. So that was kind of the first drive, and then it kind of went into, well, what's the skin type, or like, is it oily skin or dry skin or combination skin? So the more cosmetic kind of factors, and that's played a massive role in making sunscreen use acceptable, you know, so you don't have the white cast on the skin, it smells acceptable, and you could incorporate it into a daily skincare regime. But what's driving the formulation development now really is that what's the need of the individual, and not just from a cosmetic acceptability point of view, because that's become, you know, the formulators got really, really good at that now, and the filters are getting more and more effective. But it's then what's the other conditions that this is needed in, and what are the concerns there? And then it's how do you supplement being in terms of what other ingredients do you need to address the other skin concerns? And so so that's where we're seeing really the development now. And we see that within the HealyCare 360 range development. We're thinking about is pigmentation the primary concern, is redness, sort of reactive skin, a concern? Is it acneic skin? Is that the concern? Keratoses and dealing with that. So there's products specifically helping to prevent the reoccurrence of AKs. So that's the really interesting area. And I think that there's now new guidance coming out around that, and where should oral photoprotection, evidence-based oral photoprotection fit in, and there's new publications coming out on that now. And there's a Delphi management study that's just been presented at poster stage at the AAD, but I believe it's getting developed into a full paper, which has got leading photodermatologists around the world looking at that type of issue, but breaking it down into pathology. So if you looked at the HealyCare 360 range now, it's really sort of structured around the indication led, because everything needs to provide now as a standard broad spectrum UVB and UVA. So you need to be high level protection. You need to have things that both filters and then antioxidants that can deal with visible light and high energy visible light, blue light. So that's kind of a given. And then it's kind of what's the other, and it needs to be cosmetically great, so you could use it every day. And then it's what's the skin concern that the photo protection needs to link in with. And then how do you develop the formulations to deal with that? So that's what we're seeing now. And that's how the range is being developed and constantly being researched. And if you can make it even more cosmetically acceptable, you know, so for everyday use, that's the other driver. So that's kind of what's leading it. and the new formulations. And it's very exciting. There's lots of new product developments coming out, lots of great clinical research going on into supportive actives, and also trying to make the filters better. And also within Cantabria Labs, there's developments to make Fernblock even better. So there's a new combination of with an additional antioxidant that's been researched at the moment. So there's always there's a real desire to move the baseline forward, and that's why it's so exciting to be involved with it. Even at my age, I'm still getting excited. So that's good.
It is really exciting, and that's what really, you know, struck home with myself. I mean, obviously, I've been working with you for a few months now with your team, and I think, you know, explaining how you break everything down and pushing the boundaries a wee bit further as well. And it's really informative, you know, one sun protection cream does not fit all, you know. So
people
with vitiligo, rosacea, acne, children, skin of color, you know, there's lots of different categories out there. And I think that's with the Helio range is, you know, very specific on different skin types, which is really, really great as a healthcare professional to be able to say that, and also be able to, you know, direct our patients in the right direction, definitely. And for listeners out there as well, I mean, obviously we've talked about quite a lot of the evidence out there. Is there any word that our listeners can easily be directed to this evidence, or is it worth getting in touch with one of your team to, you know, if anyone's more interested in reading more about it?
Yeah, there's an area being set up. Actually, at the moment, the website is healiocare.co.uk. In September, that's transferring into cantabrialabs.co.uk, because that will then cover the different indications and skin concerns that the Cantabria Lab ranges deliver on. So there's a branded range, Biretic for acne prone skin, and there's an anti-aging range, and there's a reactive skin range and hyperpigmentation range. So there's that's going within all of that. But there's an area being set up, which is in the healiocare.co.uk site, which will transfer over to Cantabria Labs for healthcare professionals, which will be detailing this. There's a, particularly around the Fernblock technology, there's a clinical overview summary document that can be accessed there and downloaded from there. We'll find a way. Basically, that's the best way. Or if you contact us through customer services at ferndalepharma.co.uk, so that through the email address, we can get that clinical information to you. That's basically how we want to help spread the word. And I think if we can do more work with yourself, with the dermatology groups and with yourselves, then we'd be delighted to try and, you know, provide that further information and provide further educational information that can help you make, you know, informed choices, and also ask us the questions back, you know, and things that we haven't covered or you're not sure about. So
yeah, that's fantastic, because I know there's lots and lots of topic around this, you know, subject, and I know we've spoken a lot about it, and you know, I know we at the BDNG we are exploring with yourselves. You are attending our main conference this year, so
yeah.
Representatives will be there, and I also know we are planning further journal articles that so we can put these links in there as well,
which will
help our listeners today to be able to get the information. I think your team is still, if I'm correct, Roger, is still quite small, so there won't be representatives coming into hospitals, will there, yet?
Yeah, that's, yeah. So the traditionally where our sort of team, our sales team and training team have been in the medical aesthetic clinic. So there's still, we still have a presence in there, and we have a different, we do have many of those clinics stock HeliCare, and we do promote and sell HeliCare in there, but we have other product ranges in that category. So you're right, we don't have people calling out and able to visit into the dermatology units, but we can provide a more remote service. So and so our customer service team, my colleague Roisin Wood, so and our brand marketing team can provide support, and we're trying to find ways of putting together as much digital support as we can for you as a group, and then how we can support where it's relevant your patients as well, to try and find access to the information and products when that's appropriate. So I guess it's watch this space. Yeah. We need to find out. So we're working on developing that structure so that we can do that as much as possible and provide as much support. But you're right, to manage expectations, we can't be coming out next week or what in the near future to visit across the breadth of this country. We'll have to find a different way to provide that level of support, but we're confident we can do that. So
I'm very confident as well, having, and I know how passionate you are behind the scenes, and your teammates as well are very, very passionate about what you do and the work and all the evidence behind it as well. So, you know, there's definitely ways of reaching out to healthcare professionals out there. And as I say, within the BDNG, we are going to be doing some more work with yourself. So if anyone's got any questions or want to reach out, then obviously we've got the source through the BDNG as well. So I'd like to say a massive thank you, Roger, for your explanation behind the building up of how, you know, the products are actually created, and all the science behind it, the evidence. Fantastic that you're looking at different types of skin, and and as you say, application is a massive factor as well, because if it's thick and gloopy, people will not put it on. But, you know, no. I know, having tested your products, it's lovely to use as well.
Yeah.
Which is really positive. Is there any, before we leave today, Roger, is there any key messages you would like to share with our audience today?
Firstly, thanks for giving us the opportunity to speak with you today. So, and I think one is that we're very committed to developing our relationship with the dermatology community, and your group is going to be really important to that. We want to really support as much as we can. Our focus is on providing credible clinical evidence to support what information and the products that we have. So I think that's the important thing, is that cosmetics and sunscreens, and in other indications, cosmetics, what we call dermatological or dermocosmetics, so where there's which provide an evidence base, can provide a valuable tool to help you in your management of your patients. But you need the education and the information to understand that. And I think we're committed in trying to find ways to provide that in a way that's easy to digest, that has the key information. And then I think the next challenge, which we look forward to working with you on, is how do we provide that information that is helpful for you in your day-to-day roles? And I think that's the next part. So I suppose it's the start of a journey, hopefully. So thanks for giving us the opportunity to start working with you. And sun protection's vital in the health of is vital to healthy skin. It's important to use evidence-based products, and we believe the HeliCare 360 range is an evidence-based product within that offering. So we look forward to working with you, and also then on other indications as well in the years to come. So
yeah, no, it's definitely a beginning of a journey, definitely. And to get these messages across, yes, it's definitely, we're just chipping away at the moment, and there's definitely further developments. So thank you again to Roger.
Thanks, team.
So a massive thank you to your team as well behind the scenes, because I know how hard they all work as well. And we will look forward to working with you in the near future.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.